the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so glad you are here today with us. My name's Trish. This is Kylie.
I'm here, too.
And?
Ross Rawson, the third.
Oh! Let's go. He's like, I've done this before. I know how this works.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a ball. This is great. You guys got an amazing setup here, by the
way. Thank you so much. We are so grateful that you were able to take some time away from your very busy schedule and come out and talk to us. We love interviewing people that we feel like are living the elite life. And that is you today, friend.
Hey, I appreciate that. So first, thanks for having me on. And I see what you guys are doing, and it's great. And you had Andrew Futrell on, so like I had to come on.
Oh, I love Andrew. Yeah. I was sad when he moved out to Arizona.
I know, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like, we're all right here.
Right, right. He's out there with all of his friends and having a good time, so.
I love that for him. He's living a good life.
We're all just, what is that, like the seven layers of Kevin Bacon or something
like
that? Yeah,
it's 6 degrees from Kevin
Bacon. I totally
seven layers?
I old ladied that, you know? Like, when you get to my age of 43, you can say, like, weird stuff like that. And everyone's like, it's fine. She's old.
Oh, gosh.
The Book of Faces.
43 is old. We're in trouble, right?
I was on the TikTok last night.
I'm right behind you, sis. It's all good.
Well, to introduce you guys a little bit to Ross, he's a husband, he's a dad. He is a faith-led professional and now an independent broker and owner of MRKT.
Yep, Market.
Market. And I met Ross because, well, I actually just met him today, but I was showing this the coolest, like, I feel like all of my clients want country farmhouses right now.
Okay. Because
they know what's up.
Everybody wants 1 acre of land with that, like, cute country farmhouse, but they want it completely renovated inside for like $5.
Yeah.
and it's trying to help them to understand that that doesn't exist for $5.
Yeah.
As they used to say, like, champagne tastes on a beer budget kind of deal. But we work those dreams. So I called Ross. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go show this listing. And you were just like, just amazing.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, I literally hung up and like messaged my partner. I'm like, we need to get this guy Ross to come work for us. And he's like,
oh my goodness.
How do you know him? I'm like, I don't know. I talked to him for like 15 minutes. It's fine.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, number one, you were a listing agent that actually answered the phone.
Right.
Which is super refreshing.
Yeah.
Because that never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And I think on that, too, I want to talk on that. Actually, because before I came in here, and shout out to Jennifer. I just met you for the first time. Agent up in Traverse City called me on one of my listings. I literally said right before I came in here, I feel like I just gained a friend. Yeah. And see, I think sometimes, like, we forget that, yes, our client is the seller or it is the buyer. But I've always told my, you know, myself and the agents that I've trained, the client really is the agent on the other phone. It really is. Because if I don't empower that agent to have all the info, understand any question that they have answered, give them the selling points, give them the reason why I priced it, tell them what my overall thought process is on this, how well are they going to go into it? I mean, how many times have we went to go show a house, we're not able to get a hold of the listing agent because they're not answering their phone. We get in there and then we leave the property. The agent calls us back and goes, oh yeah, by the way, there was that park just around the corner and they have all the community events over there and everything. And you're like, dude, I wish you would have told me that.
Yeah.
Like, that would have helped sell the property. And so I always tell people, like, that agent on the other side, they're, you know, sometimes agents think that, like, we're annoying because we're calling. But, you know, like, oh, why is this guy blowing me up again and asking me about my listing? Just go show it. No, take the time. Like, this is what our job's about. And we connect with people and learn from people. So I don't know. I always think that your client is the agent on the other side.
And I love that. That's, like, so refreshing. I had an agent that I was working with one time, and I'm like, real estate is a team sport. Like, we're on the same team.
It really is.
No, we're not. No, we're not. And I'm like,
you're like, yes, Jeff, we are.
Like, if we aren't both winning, like, nobody's at the closing table,
right?
Like, that's the win. We all get to the closing table together. And I love that you said, like, we're making friends because the more we can collaborate, the better jobs we can do for our clients.
1,000%. And it's a representation of the overall trade, right? Yes. Like, if I give something to an agent that he's going to take and be a better reflection of real estate, realtors, brokers as a whole, that's ultimately going to impact my trade, my profession better. And I think think we forget that. Like we think like, oh, well, if I know this little prospecting, you know, trick, I got to keep it all to myself. No, you got to share that, because I've learned, like, one, if I give out all the, you know, tools and resources, 9 out of 10 times people aren't going to apply it. Mm-hmm. 1% are going to apply it. Okay. Well, of those 1%, people typically come back and be like, yo, now I'm doing this and this. And then they're helping you. And so if we live from a place of scarcity and we're always just trying to be that like hermit where we're keeping all the information in and everything, we're not going to be able to have an abundant business in my aspect, in my mind frame. You know, I think that it has to be abundance all around. And that means for everybody that we're talking to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And especially in real estate, because now I know you're over in this area. Mm-hmm. Now I have friend requested you. Now I'm seeing your listings so I can help sell your listings. You're seeing my listings so you can help sell my listings. Mm-hmm. And we're all just making the world a better place one home sale at a time, right?
100%. And I think even like this podcast, because like I'm a broker owner, you're a broker owner, like in its own way, like when I was trained, it's like, this is kind of like unknown that like, why would you want to collaborate with another broker? Like, oh, we're supposed to kind of be apart, but that's not the case. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There are brands out there that like, no, you need to only drink our Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why? Like, I should be able to know everything, you know?
Yeah. I always tell this story when my son Trent, he was little and he's like, Mama, who's your enemy? And I'm like, my enemy? And he's like, yeah, who's your enemy? Like, who do you go against? And I'm like, do you mean like competitor? And he's like, yeah, like those guys, they're on the sign and they're on the things. And I was like, oh no, honey. I'm like, in real estate, like there's always tons of people that need houses. Mm-hmm. And we each work differently, so people gravitate towards different personalities or vibes
or cultures
or areas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I don't have a competitor or an enemy. And he's like, oh, okay. And that was like mind-blowing to him.
Yeah,
but
good.
I think like if all realtors really took a look at it like that, like how can we just keep making this industry a better place? Like, mm-hmm. what a different business we would be in.
1,000%.
Right?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that being said, like we usually start at the beginning. So like,
oh, you're good. Let's
tell
just keep
us a little.
Going.
Tell yeah. us a little bit about how you even got into real estate. Like, what led you here?
Yeah. Like, what were you doing before? How'd you get here?
Yep. So I love to be super transparent in my story, because it was because someone was transparent with me that I had a breakthrough. So, you know, I love to preface that before I go into my stuff. And by no means when I tell you like the you know, the horror stories of what it was like to get here, am I coming from a victim mindset? Because that's not at all. I believe that everything that happens, even in the valley, hardships, whatever you deal with, it really is a blessing. It shapes your character and you have to look at it that way. So I wanted to find a product. I always knew that sales was my thing. I was doing photography. I had recently got divorced. I was a single dad, and I was struggling with this thing of time. Okay. And you, if you're a parent, you know that you want to be involved. You want to be there when your kid goes to school. You want to be able to drop them off. You want to be able to be home and at certain times. Yes, we need to still have a professional life. But I was lacking that. And so I was selling suits at a retail shop. And at the time, and that was really what was putting food on the table outside of taking photography, because photography wasn't like crushing it. It was doing good, but it wasn't paying the bills. So I'm selling suits and I'm just like asking God. And I had this little prayer card that I wrote on the back of my business card. Like, God, I just want to be of service for you. Like, how can I be of service for you? I don't feel like I'm giving you my all right now. Mm. And it was just that, like, there's so much that I have to give, but like, I'm not going to be a nag about it. I'm not going to like complain about where I'm at. I'm just like, I'm giving this to you. And so having that perspective and just trying to be of service, a couple gentlemen came into the suit store and they were young guys, you know, in their young 20s. And when you're selling suits, there's a lot of objections because everybody goes in there, I only want a suit. And you have to really sell to get this person to make a good purchase. Mm-hmm. Well, every time a realtor came in, they were like, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. 5 of those shoes, give me every one of the shirts. And I'm like, what do you do?
Right.
Dude, you're 22 spending $3,000 on suits. Okay, I'm struggling to pay rent. And so he tells me, I'm in real estate. Oh, that is really cool. Tell me more. He's like, well, I help people buy and sell houses. I'm like, that's actually a good product. You know, like, yeah, everyone needs a house. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I like shunned it off. Well, while this is happening, I'm being mentored by this guy, Mike Rutter. Shout out Mike Rutter. He actually married me. Love this guy. He's a real estate agent and he's like retired now, but he's like telling me about how awesome it is to be a real estate agent. And I'm like listening, but not. Another guy comes in, drops a ton of money. And he says, what are you doing? He just looks at me. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like selling suits. He's like, come sell real estate. Gives me his business card. Tells me I can make $100,000 in my first year. And yep. So 2 months later, I quit that job right before my birthday in June, and I jumped. And it was the scariest thing because you have to know, I was living in my mom's basement. The year prior, I had just gotten out of rehab for alcohol abuse, which I did check myself in. I had a problem, 100%, been sober since. But it was like I was just figuring all these things out. There was no evidence in my life at the time that I could have done this thing. Mm-hmm. But I was unbelievably optimistic that I was going to get myself out. So my mom gave me a credit card. I paid for the school, and I lived off that $5,000 credit card for 2 months. And I paid every single bill and expense. And I remember when it ran out, I just passed my test. And it was like, okay, I got this. Like, I'm going to do this. And so I interviewed a couple of brokerages. And I have to say, throughout my career, I've been nothing but lucky by meeting the brokers that I have. In fact, every brokerage I've ever been a part at, it's funny, I call them to this day and like thank them, have good calls. I mean, I was even in a pinch when I was leaving my last brokerage where I needed a sign installed. My first broker called his sign guy and got a sign delivered to my listing. Aww. And see, that is what this is about. Like, yeah. You know, like that is what it's about. And so anyways, started with them, and I was able to have a really good year. My first year, I did around $4 million.
That's amazing for year
Heck
one.
Yeah, which, that's awesome. Right.
Well, yeah, you know, and I tell agents this, like, it's not impossible. Like, yeah. Stop telling yourself it's impossible. Is it hard? Yes. And so I grinded day in and day out. From that point, I met my lovely wife, actually. And you know, it was funny because I'm in real estate, don't have a lot of house sales. And like my real estate career too, let's just talk about this. Months 0 through 8, I had no sales. Okay, nothing.
Tell it to the people. 0 through 8, zero.
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 Okay.
It happens.
Months 9 through 12, it was like unbelievable.
Gangbusters.
I thought I was in a dream. I'm like, what is happening? I'm paying bills.
49 closings.
No, like, what is happening? And it's like all of that, like, just falling up and not
all
worrying.
All the planting.
Yeah. Not worrying about the outcome. Like, that's the other thing. I did not care about the outcome. I just knew, like, whatever it is, this is going to work, because I just saw my sales leader make $100,000. Like, these guys told me that bought these suits, they made $100,000. I'm going to make $100,000. So my first year, I did around $89,000. I was just short, but that was the start of my career.
That's a big win still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know why? Your mindset. Yeah. And I tell everybody I coach that. I'm like, I have a couple girls that I'm coaching right now. They're very, very anxious. And they're like, I just don't see how this will work.
That's
and I'm like,
problem.
Well, look around the office. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I started exactly where you started. Kylie started exactly where we all started, in the exact same place.
That's right.
Taking the exact same test, doing the exact same things. And we all have all the exact same tools. Like, I tell people.
And at the time, like, we all had, like, the kids and the husbands, like, yeah. All the things.
Yeah. You just have to believe it'll work and then put in the consistent action. And you knew, and you gave it to God, and you're like, this is how it's going to go.
100%.
And that's how it goes.
Yep. And it's so true because, we do get impatient sometimes, or maybe we do something over and over and it worked before and then now it doesn't work today, and we get frustrated and we kind of lose that belief. But we do just have to continue to show up, for sure. But from that point, I was on a team for about a year. Then I went independent. I did the independent thing for about 2 years, and then I started having a lot of kids. You know, wife's going, I hate that my husband's not home today. Rightfully so, right? I was just gone a lot. And so I started to scale a team. And oddly enough, the majority of people that came to work for my team were past clients.
Oh,
so
yay.
Two of my past clients actually became team members. And that was like, that had to be the core. Like, we're big on relationship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you scale the team, you learn what you like, what you don't like. And here we are today. I opened a brokerage.
So tell us a little bit about the parts that you really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's great. I think for me in real estate, what I love is helping people set themselves free. That is just like, I don't know. I'm obsessed with watching people win. It's so silly.
That's
like,
awesome.
I liked Barnabas is one of my favorite people in the Bible, mm-hmm. because like he's the guy who got like Saul into Paul, like Paul to be ready, but then like he didn't get like all the credit. He was just like the hype man in the background, you know. And I love that. So like I love to be able to like take somebody who they want change in their life, and then they believe in you, and then now like you have not only the way of showing up for yourself, your family, but you have to show up for this person. And something about that accountability to like, I can't let you down. I need to be there for you. It just sparks a fire in me, you know? But yeah, I love that part of it. I love, I love it when I watch somebody like take a hold of this business and then like they're calling me because they're golfing at like 2 o'clock and they're like, dude, I never had this opportunity. You know, I don't have to lie to a boss today about being at the, like, right. I just got an offer accepted. I'm golfing, you know, like that's the type of stuff like, wow, you're free. Like you have a tool now that you can go on in your life, and whether it's real estate or not, like I believe in this business, if you figure out real estate, this is applicable everywhere you go.
Yeah.
We have to do the back end, the front end. We have to do client management. We have to prospect. We have to do sales. We have to do every single component. And so it's just a cool tool to give somebody.
It really is. I love that so much, especially if you're on like a family vacation. Like that's my favorite, is being able to like wake up in the morning before my family's awake and like do a little bit of work and then just go have a great day.
That's awesome.
And then come back and do a little bit more work.
No, truly. Yeah. Like I was saying earlier this week, this year was the first year that I was able to give my daughter a birthday at a place and not worry about the cost, not worry about how many kids are going to show up and be like, oh, I got to buy extra bracelets. I worried about zero things. I was like, yep, here's this, pay for that, pay for that. She had the best day ever. And I cried at the end of the day because I was like, this is what real estate did for us. We've always had like the super cheap, like Little Caesars, grandma made the cake, backyard pool parties because it was affordable. And that's fine. But like, people really don't understand, like you said, it really does set you free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's really important too, because it's kind of like a shock when you experience that.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's almost a part of like, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I right? Like, did I spend too much on that? But like, no, that's exactly why you're doing it.
Well, it's like Trisha said to me the one day, I was in the car and I was driving to a showing and I sent you a voice clip and I was like, I just need one of your pep talks. I'm super stressed out, blah, blah, blah. And you sent me a voice clip. You're like, you're not stressed out. That's your default because that's the way we grew up and that's the way we live. Mm. But that's, and I really internalized that, FYI. And I thought about it and I was like, you're not stressed out. All your bills are paid. You have a crap ton of money in the bank. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy. Like, you're not stressed out. And I went about my day completely free after that.
Wow. I want to touch on that because I had this guy. Do you know? Oh my God, am I going to forget his name right now? Ian Pruckner. Have you seen Ian Pruckner? Uh-uh. Big insurance guy. So I had him coach me for a while. And he said something to me that was so profound. He's like, Ross, do you know why people who hit the lottery, when they make $1 million, they always revert back down to zero? Like they spend it. I'm like, no, I don't know why. Like that doesn't make sense. He says, because their mindset is still based on 50 grand a year. Mm. So they don't even know how to handle those stresses, those things. And so sometimes when we're based on like scarcity, being stressed out, having anxiety, when is this going to happen? Oh, this is for sure something bad's going to happen, or whatever it is, or it's not going my way. We automatically revert to our old mindset because that's what we know, you know? And so we kind of have to brainwash ourselves in a sense of like, this I mean, it is, you know, I write my affirmations every day, whether I believe them or not, you know, I mean, I got to believe this and write it out. And so it is a thing that we go through. And I think too, and entrepreneurs don't talk about this enough, it's okay for you to, you know, go and pay for this awesome birthday party for your daughter and then the next day feel that and then have to be reminded by your awesome, you know, right hand here, Trisha, that, hey, no, I'm not those things. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to have people in your life to remind you who you're becoming, not who you were. And we fall back and we beat ourselves up of, oh, you know, I feel like I'm less than. Well, no, it's okay. I can feel that for 2 seconds of the day. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm going to snap back out because I know who I'm called to be. So I think it's really important not to carry shame if we do have those feelings.
For sure.
It doesn't mean that you haven't learned the lesson, you know?
I want to like get that quote down and re-listen to this podcast. Like, we need to remember who we're becoming, not who we were.
Mm-hmm. And you say that all the time, like in our coaching, you know, up until very recently, it was my first whole year. It was Kylie's Hot Mess Express, Kylie's Hot Mess Express. And you're like, nope, Kylie top producer.
You're
just moving the needle forward. And it is important because, you know, having that, and we talk about this a lot on the show, surrounding yourself with the people who love you enough to tell you the truth, to help pick you up and help point you in the right direction and hold you accountable. Because Trisha will be the first one and be like, well, you feel like crap because you went to bed late. You ate all the donuts. You drank a Coke. So get your butt to the gym. You can do it. Fresh day. So having those people around you is so important for growth.
I agree. And I think a lot of leaders, too, who are in that, it's almost sometimes it's hard to be honest. And I'll tell people like, I don't even want to be in the position sometimes to be this direct with you, but I care about you, so I'm going to do it.
Yes.
You know, like
that's a great preface right there. Like, I care about you, so I'm going to have this conversation.
Yeah, like
I can think of three people right now I can preface a conversation.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't want to have to be this honest. But like, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be. I'd let you just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But I love you and I care about you, and I'm going to go here with you because you know that's what you believed in me for. Yeah.
That's such a great way to put it too.
Mm-hmm. Our pastor, so he says, we have a guest. We have another guest. Is it a bee? Please don't be a bee.
Oh, no.
It's a stink bug. We're fine.
Yeah, we're totally good.
Our pastor says, and I know not everybody shares our faith and things like that, but our pastor has a saying. It was like, Jesus loves us enough where we are, but he loves us enough not to leave us where we're at. Mm. And I feel like when you have people in your life who do love you, mm-hmm. you know, and Trisha and I talk all the time, like, your husband can't be your accountability partner because he loves you all the time, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, like, if I got to a place of being unhealthy or something, Ryan would be like, darling, I think it's time that we go for a walk and we get all the sugar out the house. But, you know, Trisha loves me enough to be like, you're messing up. Mm-hmm. I know you can do better. Get your poop in a group. Let's go.
Yeah. Love that.
And since we're talking about faith, that was actually one thing I wanted to talk about, is how openly you let your faith shine in your business.
Because not a lot of entrepreneurs
but
do that.
I caught that our first conversation. He's like, God bless you. Have a hope God's blessings on your evening or something. And that was another part of that. Like, I mean, this was like a 3-minute interaction and it's not normal for me to come away from a conversation.
I came into her office and she was like, I just had the best conversation. Like, he's coming on the show. Like, we made a new friend.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was like 3 minutes. But it's a testament to how impactful 3 minutes can be.
Amen.
And like noticing those little nuances. So mm-hmm. maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like where my faith really comes from type deal.
Yeah, and how you feel so open to communicate. Because one thing I've noticed being mm-hmm. a broker and a leader is I've had agents come to me that have came from other brokerages and they're like, they'll tell me, I've had brokers that have said, don't put anything on my Facebook about religion
or
right,
whatever.
Or my faith or something like that. Or should I buy a cross? I even had somebody, should I wear a cross necklace?
Wow.
And I'm like, of course you should, you mm-hmm. know, like that's how you're guiding your life. Mm-hmm. Like, and I believe like, you know, find your tribe and let them love you hard. Right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so now I'm talking. You talk.
No. This is great. Listen. By the way, I love this. Like, you guys are pro podcasters, by the way. Like, I've been on podcasts. I've had people on podcasts, you know, but like, you guys do a really good job.
You
have a great chemistry. So it's a joy to be here. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that for the camera. If we were off record, I'd still say that.
We're a joy.
But like, okay, so I guess it's really like where it comes from. So, you know, I know I said when I went to rehab, you know, and all that stuff before I got into real estate, well, there was like a pivotal moment for me. And I've had two radical encounters with Christ in my life. And I don't care if you think I'm in the clouds on this one. This is my experience. So this is what it is. Right after I got out of rehab, I knew I had a lot to change. Well, my wife at the time, she moved out. And there was this point where the electricity bill was turned off. I had $50 to my name. I'm in debt. There's an eviction notice on the door. I'm withdrawing awful from drugs and alcohol. I mean, insanity. I was not right for like a year of that, right? And while I'm going through that, I had this thought that I didn't want to be on the earth anymore, okay? And that was a hard thing for me to come to because I had a daughter that I had to live for. And I call Harper my healing Harper, and I get choked up every time I think about this because she really did. She was an aspect that is the reason why I do what I do today and why I'm here. And in that time, I was so mad at Jesus because I didn't know how he could allow me to feel those things. I couldn't even feel God, guys. Like, I was so desperate. You know, my hands are shaking for like 2-3 months straight. I got these bills over my head and I'm like, God, I can't even feel you. I don't even know you. Like, what's going on? And I kept on asking, and Mike Rutter at the time, he's like, dude, if you can't feel God, you're reading his word, stand on the Bible. Just put the Bible on the floor and stand on truth. I'm like, that's pretty wild. I'm going to do that. And in the pursuit that I was just saying to Jesus, no matter what, I don't care if I feel you. I don't care if you're not going to show up. I am still going to stand on this Bible because I know your word has power. 2 nights after that, I had a dream where Jesus came to me and he asked me this question. Why are you ashamed of me? Now, what was weird about this dream is my soul's telling on me, yes, I'm ashamed of you. Yes, I'm ashamed of you. And my words, I'm like trying to talk to myself. I'm not ashamed of you, God. No. But it was like I was being told on. I could not get myself out of this lie. And he asked me again. He said, why are you ashamed of me? And I said, you're right, God. I've been ashamed of you. And I was at that time. I was mad at him. I was all these things. And so He gives me the biggest hug I could have ever imagined. And when I turned around, I saw MacGyver. And MacGyver, he passed away from cancer. He was my little brother, who I named my son after. And he was in heaven, and he just looked so good. And he said, "Ross, I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you again." And at that moment, like, I knew I had something to live for. And I knew that I didn't ever want to go back to see Christ again and tell him, like, "I was ashamed of you," you know, like, because I'm not, you know, like, I wanted to take my life. And I was so dirty. Like, I was an alcoholic. I was shaking. I was lost, divorced, broken, beaten down. No preface of success in life. And he came and grabbed my hand and said, "I'm going to pull you out of this, but I need you to just be honest with me." And so, like, that to me, like, when people are like, "Oh, well, you're using God and everything," like, I'm sorry if I offend you. This isn't about me and you. Like, I have one person right now that I'm worried about, making sure that when I go to see him again, that I'm never going to let him down. And so, like, that's really where it comes from. Like, a really, like, deep, you know, and it is what it is, you know?
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm, like, holding back the tears because, like, yeah, I don't want to start crying.
We're going to need a commercial tissue break.
How many crickets?
Yeah, yeah. So that's really.
That is such an amazing encounter.
Yeah. No, and it was. And, like, and honestly, like, when you tell that to some people, like, yeah, okay, it was just a dream. No.
For sure.
Yeah. No. And the nights leading after that, like, when I tell you, and I don't know what faith basis we're on here, but, like, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, like, I'd come home from nights of work where maybe the electricity wasn't on, and boom, the minute I opened that door, I felt God. It was like I could take a knife and cut his presence tangibly. And, like, you know, just, like, I don't know, I'm just talking about it gets me emotional, but, like, when you're in that place and you don't know where to go next, like, just having God love you like that, like, I don't know, there's nothing on this earth. I've had money, I've had people love me that can just carry you through any amounts of pain. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All right, we are going to pause there. Yeah.
We're at a minute.
Have some water and take a breath. And we will be right back. Don't miss a minute.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic. But at mystarsacademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit mystarsacademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
My biggest listing ever wandered in. I was the only one. He wasn't even in there for real estate.
Wow.
It was like,
he was in there to see the plumber.
He was in there to see the plumber and pay a check, you know? And it's just so amazing. And I think I love that you come from, like, a place of service and what you said about just, like, giving it to God and just letting it, just let it be. I sent you a reel and it was this guy having a conversation with Jesus, and the guy's, like, counting pennies and he's like, "Well, my numbers are down and, like, this and this." And Jesus was like, "You need to give me your business." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing it for you." And he's counting. He's like, "No. You need to give it to me and just trust that I'm going to provide." Because I will tell you, man, there have been times, like, when we had to move out of that house, we had to pay our mortgage, and I had money in a spot, and it was from someone I didn't want to touch out of pride. I was like, "I don't need his money." Do you remember this? And I was like, "I don't need this. I'm going to make this on my own." And the bills came in, and I had enough plus that. And I just had to give up my pride and be like, "You provided."
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love that.
Because the one thing Trisha says is, like, politics, like, you can keep that off your Facebook page, which I get.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is
biblical too, kind of. Yeah.
And sometimes it's more divisive than religion. But, like, there's not a day where I'm going to just not be talking about that or posting about that, because it is such that's my life.
That's right.
That's your life.
That's right.
Bread and butter.
Come on. And I think even God does speak to us in ways like that. For instance, you know E.T. the hip-hop preacher?
Yes. Okay, yes, wait. I read his book.
Eric, it was so good.
You owe you. It was so good.
So you just got fired up. Like, okay, that's great. Like, you guys know him. Like, I didn't know any of these people existed. So when I was in that little apartment and, you know, my bills aren't paid and everything, I'm like praying to God, like, God, who's out there? And I'm not kidding you. I cannot make this up. Never heard of the man. The Lord told me in my prayer time, look up Eric Thomas. I looked him up. The first video was, if you want it as bad as you want to breathe,
yes.
You'll succeed. Nobody ever told me about, like, oh, if you want something bad enough, like, then go after it. And so, like, I think even in your prayer time, like, it's so important. If that's a part of what your makeup is, you know, for me, that's definitely a key piece. So
I came home yesterday and I walked in our bedroom and Dave's like, on his knees, and I'm like, are you on your knees praying right now? And he's like, no, I'm fixing the internet.
There are times when things get serious and I lay my Bible on the floor and I get in child's pose and I got my face on. There was a time where I was going through it. Mm-hmm. There was some awful things happening. And I remember going in my bedroom, and I love telling the story. I remember going in my bedroom and I just put my face on my Bible and I'm just sobbing. And I'm just like, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. No matter how this works out, I know it's for my good. I know that you love me. And no lie, when I sat up on my leather-bound Bible, my tears had pooled in the shape of a smiley face.
Wow. See?
I will share that till the day that I die. And I shared that with my daughter as she's growing in her faith. And I'm like, this is such an important of our identity. She's getting ready to go into middle school and I'm terrified.
Oh my goodness, I know.
You know, but like having that to lean on, especially as an entrepreneur, like having some kind of faith to lean on, mm-hmm. including that support system, is so important.
That's right.
It's so important. It's going to pull you through those pee stained mattress moments that we talk about.
Tell me the pee stained mattress. There's a story there.
That's an Andy Frisella special. Okay. Like, I listen to a lot of Andy Frisella and I love the guy. Like, he's got so much wisdom. Yes. And I love that he's willing to pour into other entrepreneurs through his podcast and his Arete program and all of that. And he tells the story of like when him and his bro were like running the GNC or whatever it was and they were sleeping in the back on like some dirty mattress. And he's like, entrepreneurs need to understand, like, your first couple years, that's what he calls them.
Yes. Okay, I love that. I'm a big follower too. I've tried to do 75 hard a couple times. I have not done it yet.
Oh, do it. It will change your whole life. I did it one time.
It's like day 26 and I'm just like, oh, gosh.
She does it like four times a year. Like, she lives that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I love discipline, and you know how you're talking about freedom? Like, mm-hmm. For me, doing 75 hard is freedom.
Come on.
Because everybody chooses their hard, right? And you're going to choose either to feel amazing after you've done two workouts or to feel like crap the next morning because you ate cereal at night.
Mm-hmm. And what I personally attacked here.
But what I found was the first time I did 75 hard, when you get in that winning streak of like, okay, I just did this workout. Okay, I did my 10 pages reading. Okay, I just did this workout. And you're so structured because you know you have to get these things in no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like that, like, you have to do it or you start all over. So I will keep doing it because I'm like, well, now I'm on day 35. You can't quit on day 35, right? Like, that's just not how this is going to work. And what I found was after I did my first 75 hard, like, it was wild the extra things that happened because of it. And I think it's because you're in that winning streak and you're so tuned mm-hmm. in to success and winning. And every single minute of your day matters because I had at that point in time, I think I had 5 kids in the house. I collect children. I end up with like my sister and Dave's kids and billet hockey kids and cheerleaders and all this stuff. So I have all of these kids and it's like, okay, well, I have to wake up at 4:00 in the morning and go to the gym before anybody wakes up because everybody's going to a different school and I got 5 different drop-offs and 5 different lunches and 5 different sports and all this stuff. So every second matters. So not only did I accomplish 75 hard, but I paid off like $50,000 in credit card debt and did like 3 college classes and we bought a new house and like all of these different things just because I knew I had to do these things and they had to be done perfectly But I also still had to be a mom, and I still had to be a business owner, and I still had to do all of these other things. And for me, like, we talk about core values, and one of mine is integrity. Mm-hmm. And like, if you say you're going to do this,
got to do it.
You're going to do this.
Come on.
Period. Mm-hmm. So like right now I'm doing 75 hard, and there was a girl on Facebook that used to work for me, and she moved to Virginia, and she's like, "Let's all do 75 hard." Every single person that started it quit. I'm the only one still doing it. And it's like, not even because
it's a lonely club. It is. I've done the groups too. You'll start like 20 motivated people day four. You're like, there's only half the group.
Yeah, but it's freedom, because if I do these workouts, guess what? Then I can fit in any clothes I want. Mm-hmm. You know, if I am eating good food, guess what? I have more energy in the morning. Mm-hmm. If I'm getting outside every day, I'm getting intentional time. And actually, Dave always does. He's not doing 75 hard, but he always outdoors with me. Mm-hmm. So that is time that I know for sure we're going to connect and we're going to have a conversation, because you know how it goes in real estate. Yeah. You go like 3 weeks and you're like, oh, yeah, I have a wife.
Yeah. Right? And paperwork, like, and problems and fires.
It's seasonal. Right. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that they're like, oh, I'm looking for this life balance. I'm like, good luck. Tell me when you find it.
Because
I don't believe in life balance. No. I don't think it exists. Like, you're going to go hard in the paint and work, and you're going to
see your family's going to fall off.
Right.
I hate that word balance just in general.
Yeah. Because it doesn't exist. Yeah, it's not real.
Because if you're broke, okay, what, are we going to have a work-life balance? No, you're broke. You need to get money on the table. Like, you need to be all work and maybe a little social life. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's why you're successful, because you're willing to do that work. Mm-hmm. So many people, you know, that's one thing I was talking about in coaching the other day. I have people and they're like, yeah, we had this program. We called it the Cleaners Program, right? I don't know if you ever read Tim Grover, Relentless.
Okay.
He talks about, he was the coach for Michael Jordan.
Okay.
And he talks about how there's three types of people. There's cleaners, closers, and coolers, right? Mm-hmm. And coolers are like, they're just doing what they need to do, you know, to survive. And cleaners are like, they'll do that little extra and they'll work really hard. But if you are a closer, you are relentless. You are the Michael Jordan. You will do anything you gotta do to be the best, and you don't stop. Like, you win and then you go, what's next? Right? And that's like, when we were opening our office that I have in Livonia right now, like, I mean, literally, like, my blood, sweat, and tears is on that furniture. I'm building desks. I'm building chairs, you know, and I'm dying. I'm crying. And my hands hurt and everything's bloody. And we get the sign up and it's the 4th of July. The whole parking lot's empty. I'm there coming out. You know, it's still light out at like 8:30 because it's summertime in July. And I look and there's a space next door to the office we just built out that's empty. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can get that space. And then I'm like, what is wrong with you? Right. Like, you have spent the last year like dying physically, mentally, and emotionally to open this big giant office. And the first thing you think the second it's done is like, oh, I wonder if I can open that space too. Yeah.
And then guess what? She did that. She got that space.
Of course she did.
And like, that's that closer mentality though. Mm-hmm. So we made this program at my office, and we're like, okay, if you want to be involved in the closures program, we're going to pay all this money. We're going to give you all these leads. We're all going to show up together. We're going to be like the ninjas of real estate. We all show up together at 7
SEAL
in the morning.
Team 6.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. We all do our scripting. We all do our calls. You're on Facebook Live. We're recording your calls. Then we're doing coaching. We're unpacking your calls. And we have this whole like schedule, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. It was like week 3 and they're like, Trisha is so mean. She is so mean. Like, you tell me you want this accountability. Yeah. You tell me you want this level of production and you're going to do whatever
lifestyle.
It takes in this lifestyle, and you want all these things. Mm-hmm. But then when it really gets down to it, you don't want it enough to do what it takes to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm mean.
Yeah. It's just the mirror that hurts. It's not me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that, you know, I've had people approach me, people that I know pretty well. I know their personality, their lifestyle, and they're like, oh, I was thinking of getting my real estate license. I'm like, you can go get it. And I'm honest with people, like, especially if they're single moms, if they're single parents, because I let them know, like, if you get into this, you need to have some money saved up for your bills. Mm-hmm. You need to have a good support system so you're not dragging your kid to all of your inspections, your showings, your things.
Right.
You know, and which is why I live 38 seconds from my mom.
Right.
So, but, and I'm very transparent with them, and a lot of them, you know, they're like, never mind. And I'm like, that's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Because it is literally not for entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
No. There's a price to be paid. And that, and sometimes what you think that you're going to get receive versus what you're going to pay the price for to receive is very different, you know? And I think that is important because it is kind of sold. Like if you come into real estate, like you're your own boss and you get to make your own schedule when it's like, no. You're not only your own boss, you're going to work 100 hours, 90 hours a week and you are going to be exhausted, tired. But at the end of the day, yeah, it is yours, you know? And that's what you get to have. And I think that if you come into this business thinking it's going to be easy, just turn right around and go get that salary job that there's nothing wrong with, but like go take the easy route because this is not going to be easy.
It's
gonna, you know, and I think that's the part that I love about it though, because I can sit here amongst you two and I know that you've paid the price. I can see, I can hear, I know the lingo, I know the vibration, that I can tell you're winning, right? And so like there's a respect there that like, okay, wow, like you're doing it, I'm doing it. And so we can converse on ways. And when you talk to an agent that says they've been doing it and they're really not doing it, and you look at see their production and they're saying certain things and you're just like, no, you haven't fully accepted this grind yet.
Yeah.
You haven't fully bought into the full idea, and that's why you're at where you're at. And that's okay, because mm-hmm. we all have levels of belief systems that we have to change. Just like when we started this podcast, you're like, hey, I was calling Trisha the other day saying these things about myself that I was feeling. It wasn't necessarily true. And you know, and sometimes we go through those levels in our business, but I think the biggest thing is one, you just need to give yourself the permission to do it.
Yeah.
And that I think is the hardest thing.
It's the limiting beliefs that we have that we all grew up with. Like Trisha and I grew up super blue collar, like from the trailer park. And so like for us even fathom that we could make $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in 1 month, because that's what our parents made over a whole daggone year.
Yeah.
That was a big mental block for me. And I'm so blessed that like between you and Andy, you've helped me remove those things. And I've been so much happier, so much more successful. And I'm seeing these other agents and like there are some other agents in the office where I'm like, girl, get on the bus, move that block, let's go. Because I can see their potential. Yeah. But like we talked about in our other podcast, like people aren't going to take that step unless they're ready.
That I'm addicted to now. So like trying to help someone get that. So like, okay, like I know how I know very well how to take an agent and get them to 100K. I'm very confident. If you give me everything, I'll do that for you. But like consistently getting you to do that is not what I'm obsessed about. Mm. Like, you know, how do you take somebody and they want to come into this business, they want to achieve it, but like really hit the core parts of their heart that open up those ideas, that open up the possibilities. That and I'm being coached all the time on how to do that. And I think it changes because everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
But that is a thing. Because we do come across people where like, you know, you'll hear somebody on the phone and you'll know like, gosh, man, they can talk. Like they just got served 7 objections and they handled every one of them. And although they can talk and although they can handle those objections, they only know how to handle them for an hour a day. And because they only know how to handle them for an hour a day, they're only making 50 grand a year. Mm-hmm. But if they could just break past that wall and we can teach them, train them, and say, hey, no, you can do this for 3 hours a day, or maybe only 2 days a week, but it's all there, whatever it is. And if you do that, you're going to make more contacts means more conversions mean more closings mean your desired outcome. And that right there, man, I love that. Like just having someone like, oh, this is a numbers game. Like, and I think that's the part too, that takes the agent from going, maybe this is impossible to possible, because sometimes we have these ideas of like, we see somebody's potential, but they don't even know how to map that out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, yeah, I need 24 closings, but like, how many people do I need to talk to, or how many mailers do I need to send, or how many, you know, Facebook DMs or conversions? And I think once we have that info, which I know you guys do, then it just takes the excuses out of it. So now it's not even like an idea. It's like, no, here's the KPI. Just knock this out and you're good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we have a lot of realtors that listen to this. So let's give a couple resources that you think, like if you have, you know, an agent sitting in front of you and they're like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Where do you think that the listeners that are listening right now going, man, like I don't even know how to get to what they're talking about. Like, how do I get past, like, how do I even get a client?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, you have about $500,000 worth of commissions inside your phone right now. And I don't care if you have the smallest phone book, you do, because even if you tell me there's 30 people in that phone book, well, do 30 times 5, because those 30 people know 5 people. Okay, so there's no excuse. In fact, I'll say this, when I came into the game, I joined a team that was very lead cold calling base. Like, we're leads focused, and that's why our splits are so high. Which also, let me just say for the record, any agent listening to this and they're complaining about splits, I would, and I tell this to my old broker all the time, I would have paid 90-10, 10 going to me, 90 going to the broker my first year for all of that experience. Mm. Like, when people argue
about,
oh, I'm on a 50-50 or, oh, I'm a 7, like, dude, stop. Like, you're 50-50 of nothing. Like, just because that year, what I have now, and I'll go back to what you originally asked, but like, it's, I have all the information. Like, they gave me the toolbox. All the tools are there. I just have to apply them. And so that's what you're paying for when you're on a team. I just want to clarify that. So let's just say, though, like, you know, you're in a spot, you're trying to grow your business, you're trying to understand. I preface that because I never closed a single lead that my broker gave me year one.
No way.
It was all self-generated business. In fact, I would go into the lead pond every time. In fact, to this day, leads, yeah, they're okay, but like, I think it's just not my avenue. It's never been my business model. So like, I'd get so frustrated because I'd be like, gosh, all these guys are converting leads. I can't convert leads because I don't know them. And so one of my superpowers was just really working the people that I did know. So I made a point, and this is where I'd start. You have to talk to a minimum, and I'm not going to go like, you know, you know, there's so many sales programs out there. So this isn't a sales. This is just what's worked for me. If you're nowhere in your business, you need to make 20 conversations a day. That is just a principle. So what I started day one of my business, and this is my coach today, I opened up my phone book and I called A through Z, okay? I wrote down every person's name I didn't call, okay? Then the second time when I went from Z back, so I went A to Z first time, second time I'm gonna go Z to A, I have to take one person and add it to the list. So that list of people I didn't call, they're now going to go on there. So that was like the simplest thing that I did in the beginning. But yeah, I think knowing that you have to make conversations everywhere you go, you have to be willing to be proud about what you do. If you can be proud about what you do, realize that it's an honor to be a realtor. I mean, the lady at Chase Bank that's cashing you out, she needs to know that you sell houses, and you need to figure out if she needs a CMA. I mean, that is what this has to be. Like, in the non-cheesiest, salesiest, I'm here to take care of you. And so I just burned in myself that if I don't get a hold to this person, I'm going to rob them of the full benefit that they have in real estate. And oh my God, I can't let that happen. Like, I need to be your guy. And so like, whether you're my grandma, you're my friend's friend, you need to do it. So what I did is I started going to offices. This was my main thing. And I figured out, I Googled, okay, who makes around 75 grand a year? And tells me all these. So I know about, in this time of my business, 75 grand a year got you a really decent house, right? This is 17, 18 market. And typically the people that made 75 grand a year, they already had a 200 and they needed to sell that and they wanted to level up to a 400. So I found that, okay, here I have a 650K, you know, transaction awaiting me if I could just service these clients. And so I really niched down and I just started making relationships. So I got my lender at the time, Sal Cusmano, and we went into these offices and I would just drop off donuts and make a point to introduce myself to one person in that office. And I started with my wife's office, and then I started going to like all these different IT offices throughout Troy. And before you know it, I became the guy. And that's how.
No way.
Yes. It was like, oh, like I would just walk
Popeyes.
In.
Popeyes.
You know, I would just walk in with my donuts and I'd be like, hey, what's up? I would never ask for the business, but I'd just say, hey, how's it going? And in return, they'd ask for me. So in the beginning, if you have nothing going on, go on Google, find out what niche market you specialize in and see what profession is it in. Is it doctors? Is it attorneys? And start going to those offices and introducing yourself, because everybody, someone will say to me, well, I went there last week, no one cared. Okay, well, guess what? Next week when you go there, someone's Aunt Karen could have passed away. God forbid, I'm sorry they did. But they now have a pain point and you now need to service that. And they're gonna remember that Ross came in last week and he was a guy that I could trust. And so when you come in there the next week bringing something, there's your opportunity. But you know, just that would be my first play. Second play, I think Mojo Dialer worked out great for me. I really did cold call. I did a Ricky Caruth style. Every single neighborhood, I made a point to introduce myself to the neighbors. So it was just, hey, I don't want to sell your house right now. I just want to be a person that you trust in the future. And I think letting every person know around you that you're not there to make a commission. You're there to service a need. I think there's a big difference. Like, there is going to come a day for everybody, whether they're in this life or the next, that house is going to need to be helped, whether it's transferring to the family or transferring to the market. And we want to be that person. So I think those two things were really what I used. And social media, of course. 100% social media is what saved me. And I could go in more on that too if you wanted to. But yeah, those three things. So going into offices and finding out what your market was. Cold calling was a big piece because sometimes I wouldn't make 20 conversions then if I only talked to five people in the office that day.
Yeah.
I needed to fulfill that in my other areas.
Those are three great, really great pillars.
Oh, handwritten notes. I still do it today. Every time I have a conversation with somebody, they're getting a hand. If it's somebody that like I had a good conversation with, I'm writing them a handwritten letter.
That's awesome.
That. Yeah. I love that. I just started doing that. I was reading, I don't know. I read so many books. I can't remember which book it was, but he talked about handwritten notes. Mm-hmm. And so now on my Google Calendar every week, I at least two, that's the minimum.
That's right.
And I like that you have minimums. You're like a minimum of 20 conversations per day. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important because I don't think people realize how much work really actually needs to be done. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'll be like, okay, what'd you do in the last 7 days? Did you have, you know, 50 conversations or 150 conversations? And they're like, well, no, I had three. Okay, don't tell me this doesn't work if you've only had three conversations mm-hmm. in 7 days.
And it doesn't always have to be, like you were just saying, it doesn't always have to be like, hey, Barbara, this is Kylie with Elite Realty. We were talking last time about it. It was
correct.
Like, yeah. You're standing in the one day, I won't forget it. I was standing in the dollar store before I had to go get the girls. And this lady in front of me, she had a little dog in the store. And so I was like, oh, hi. I started talking to her dog first.
Yeah, of course.
Just to feel her out. And before I knew it, we're walking out of the store together, having a conversation. I gave her my card. And it was a conversation. I made the mistake of not getting her phone number.
Right.
But still, like, it was, I'm hoping that, like, later, you know, somewhere, she's like, you know, later in that day or whatever, like, oh, I just met this really nice young girl in the dollar store, and she was talking to Pookie, and it was absolutely adorable. So, like, making those connections, it doesn't have to be, like, in a specific setting.
Mm-hmm.
I had on my calendar, I had a birthday party to go to for one of Kaya's friends. And so Trisha was like, okay, well, what do you have coming up that you're going to be wearing? I'm like, well, I've got a networking event on Saturday because I'm going to this birthday party. And I made two friends.
See?
Yeah.
I did. Saying. Yeah, it doesn't need to be about real estate. The 20 contacts, again, it's not always like, let's do business today. It can be as simple as like, oh, my past client that I sold a house to, I saw on Facebook, just got a dog. Hey, what's going on? By the way, I just saw that beautiful dog you got. I've wanted a golden doodle. Hey, you know, is there personality traits? Would I hear the same? Like, tell me more about this dog. And really focusing on the forward, right? Family, occupation, recreational dreams. Like having that in the forefront of my brain of like, this is all I'm going to talk about. I want them to bring the real estate out to me. Like if I just make it relational based. And so, yeah, I think that's a really key point. Like a contact doesn't have to be, oh, I tried to close business. Because then, like, you're not, I don't know. I think you're not going to run at a pace that way.
It's not authentic.
It's not life.
No.
It's not life. Like, anything I buy, they're always going to talk about, like, finding my why, finding my needs, and, like, getting to know me. Like, if I'm going to be, like, dealing with a real salesperson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And the food Popeyes go a long way, because I will tell you, we have a home inspection company that drops a box of food, and they have every single week since we moved into that space in Livonia, which was, I don't know, like 10 years ago now. And all I think all the time is like, I got to send them a home inspection. Like, I don't know who they are. Never seen them. But they always drop this little box of like crackers and stuff like that. And
love
so
that.
It's like, even if they're
not. Realtor snacks is what they are.
They're realtor snacks. Exactly. You can eat them in the car.
That's
right. But it's just that simple. Like, they do this little gift all the time. And I want to give them business.
Mm.
It makes me want to.
The theory of reciprocity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Have you ever heard of like a baby list? Has anyone ever like?
No, tell me more.
Tell us more.
I'm trying to get my husband to give me another one.
That is awesome. I love that. Growing families are awesome. Hey, come on, man. What are you waiting for? anyways, so by the way, and Sue, like when you asked like what helped grow your business, like we talked about three things. Like there's like 10 that I did. So like please, like open your mind. Hit up Trisha, like she's got some good stuff, you know. Okay, they know their stuff. So, but like the baby list, what that is. So, one of my brokers taught me that like you need to take care of your people after the sale. So, like one thing that I've done is every quarter I send something to a past client, and sometimes it's been really hard. Like, you know, we typically do like a $5 Starbucks card,
sure,
or like something of that. Usually $5 or less, or sometimes during the holidays we'll get like a hat. We'll do like something for him, something for her, something for the kids, right? But we really try to say like, hey, we're still thinking about you past the sale. That alone, I swear, I have had clients that have called me to work with me again and go, Ross, every time you send that dang Starbucks card, like, I have an uncle that just got licensed, but I can't work with him because you give me this card. And like, I know Uncle Larry's not going to actually care about me. And like, I bought two houses from you and you're still sending me stuff. Like, are you even making any profit? It's like, dude, it's a $5 gift card. Like, yeah. It's those simple things that like, when they go to the store and they buy that coffee, like one, like we take a gift card and we throw it in our purse or our wallet and that's that. Maybe we go, oh, that was nice of them. That was nice of my realtor. But then like when they go to the store again a month later and they take that card, they thought about you again. Mm-hmm. How many life events happened from got the card to cashing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that market share of time matters because they say like after we close a sale, most people forget who their realtor was or what they really did for them 13 days after the sale.
What?
That's a stat. Mm-hmm. Like they've already forgot you. And so I tell realtors, like, after the sale, it's really important. Send flowers on week three. Like, I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. I'm sending you flowers, my friend. Like, you're going to have a nice little vase on the counter to go, my realtor got that for me.
Love
like,
it.
You know, on move-in day, I need to be thought about, you know, because what's happening during this time?
Memories.
And everybody's talking about you just bought a house.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, I'm ready to buy a house. Dude, my guy just got me Domino's for the moving crew and sent me flowers. Like, you don't
sent me flowers. Yeah.
You know, like, I want to work with that guy, Gail. So, yeah, I think that matters, too. It's not just in the deal. It's so much after that makes your business grow.
For sure. For sure.
Are you ready to transform your real estate career? Join MyStarsAcademy.com and access expert-led training designed to help you close more deals and build lasting success. Start your journey today at MyStarsAcademy.com.
Oh, this has been so awesome. First of all, thank you so much. This is like, I'm loving it so much.
Yeah, you're coming to all the bar. You guys, your family, all the kids, they're coming to the lake barbecues, like the hillbilly yard parties.
We support everything you guys are doing. Honestly, I don't, and I really do mean that. Like when I got off the phone with you too, I'm like, wow, like I love the culture. I do my homework, you know, like I want to see where I'm going and where I'm talking. And you guys really do lead an awesome group.
I appreciate
genuinely,
that.
Genuinely, in and out, you know. I mean, even like I called for Terrell just because he's a good judge of character. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this group? He goes, dude, you got to like get to know. They're the real deal.
I'm going to text him later because, well, he came back to visit and we were going to get together, but it was during the holidays. So like all the things happened.
For sure.
Yeah. And I feel bad, but we had him on once or twice.
We had him on twice, and then I was gonna invite him over for a barbecue, and Dave's like, he moved to Arizona. I'm like, okay, first of all, how do you know? And I don't know anything. And he's like, oh yeah, I talked to him the other day, I called him.
Because you create before you consume, that is why.
That is true.
No, he's awesome. And I'm so glad that like you guys had that connection, because again, like I totally believe, like, number one, and this is probably a new agent thing, you know, or especially if you're coming from a really competitive, you know, space, like there is enough business to go around. Mm-hmm. And like we've said before, like people are going to gravitate towards, you know, towards you for a specific reason. So like all of the dog moms and the hockey ladies go to you, you know, all of the world's okayest moms go to you, you know? Like all of the hunters go with Rebecca. Like you attract, you know, like what you're into and mm-hmm. what you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. And that's super important because I feel like there's a lot of pressure to like fake it to make it. And I feel like mm-hmm. on one level you kind of have to sometimes mm-hmm. in this business. But, you know, like Trisha was having a chat with me and she was like, listen, I don't know how you expect to attract high-end buyers when you show up in the office in jeans and a flannel.
Yeah.
And so what I did was, because I hang out with Riley, and Riley's always dressed to the nines. My girl is on point. Mm-hmm. Makeup, hair, all of that. Gorgeous woman. And so, you know, but that's not 100% me. So mm-hmm. I was able to take Trisha's advice mm-hmm. and go and put together a wardrobe that is a little bit more put together, a little bit more grown up, but also still me.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love that we're all able to, like, we all do the same things. We're not like scrappling and grabbing over each other to make this happen, because there's enough business for everybody.
Come on.
Yeah. What do you think the real estate world needs more of today?
Wow. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Let me think on that. Well, I think, like, what do they need? Like, what does the real estate world need more of right now?
Wow. Inventory.
No lie there.
Drop the mic. Literally, yeah. No, well, I think it's an exciting time. Well, so this is kind of like a prehistoric dinosaur industry, if you would. And tech really in the last 7 years has just been trying to get its hands on it.
Yeah.
And I think like, I don't think we need more tech because we already have that. Like anybody can see pretty much anything about a house on the internet, right? Like, right. So, okay, we don't need that, you know? I think the tools, what blows my mind is like, we have these amazing CRMs that can communicate amongst one another. Yeah, okay, that's cool too. But, you know, I don't know. I think, man, that's such a good question. No one's ever asked me that. The first thing that I thought of is like, we need to connect more, right? Rather than try to disconnect. Because I feel like lately too, like in all the masterminds that I'm listening to and all the things, it's all about like, we need to have the best Zapier connections to be able to do this, 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 and this, and this, so we don't drop the ball on the clients, you know, but it's like, yeah, that matters. But like, if we go too much into that, we really do lose the business. Cause I've done that. Trust me, my business has tanked when I've tried to do just automation based and not keep it relationship. So I don't know. I'm curious to think what you'd have to say. What do you think?
I think the connections as well. I think the communication, because when you get into real estate, I try to tell people, I'm like, it's not if things will go wrong, it's when they'll go wrong, right? And they're going to go wrong like all day, every day. But if I have already started and made a really good relationship with you from call one, then you know when I come and I'm like, Ross, you know how when you have those buyers and they do those things you tell them not to do, but they do them anyways? I have that situation. Mm. And instead of you going, can you believe this agent? She doesn't know how to do her job. She blah, 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 blah. And now it becomes this adversarial relationship because you already know I'm a good person. You know I'm a good agent. You know I'm leading my clients the right way. So you can go to your seller and say, hey, listen, I know that this is an uncomfortable situation and it isn't going the way that we thought it would go. And it's going to take longer than we thought it would take. But I believe in Trisha and I know how she works and she's going to get it done. So yes, it's going to feel a little stressful because we have a couple extra weeks we got to wait, but we're going to wait those couple extra weeks and you're going to get to the closing table no matter what.
That's right. Right. Yep.
And so we can't have that level happening if all we've done is text each other.
That's right.
Because text has no tone. That's right. And I feel like so many problems in real estate happen from texting. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell people all the time, I'm like, dude, if it's more than two sentences, just call them.
That's right.
Them. If you have to explain with more than two sentences, this is a phone call. If they won the offer, it's a phone call. If they lost the offer, it's a phone call.
That's right.
You know, and so often, like, I do have some clients, like I have a set of clients right now, and he loves to drop a whole bunch of messages and like think very far in the future. And I love and respect your research. And I'm like, let's get this report and then have a call. Because I'm not going to say what if, what could, what maybe, how we're going to handle it if and when, blah, 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 blah. Because like Joyce Meyer has a quote and she says, worry is a down payment on a problem you may never have.
Amen.
And that, preach.
Get the offering. Let's get the offering.
And that was a hard lesson for me to learn because I wouldn't categorize myself as a worrier, but like I'm a ducks in a row type of gal. So like I like to have a plan A. The only thing I don't have a plan B on is my marriage. Like that is it. And so I'm just like, I would constantly come to Trisha in my first couple years. And I'm like, well, there's this and this and this. And what if they do this? And she's like, chill, sis, chill. You just got the offer accepted. You haven't even had your inspection. If this happens, let's deal with it when it comes.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
I'm like Steve Harvey. You know, he talks about jump off the cliff until your parachute finally. You know? My poor wife, honey, I love you so much. But like, I jump nonstop. I'm like, what are you worried about? Like, we have God.
I am that person in our relationship. Like, and my husband's like, well, we need a checklist. And then we need to put it on the checklist. Then we need to double check the checklist. Yeah. I'm like, we're going to the cabin. Bye.
Yeah. I know. Like, even my father-in-law, when I went to go out on my own, just from like EXP to like, you know, sorry, going out on my own from like being at the place I was at to going to EXP, but like with a team, he's like, gosh, man, that takes balls. And I'm like, Dad, what are you talking about? He's like, it's all on you now. You got to pay for a space. You got to pay. Like,
it's on God.
It's on God, man. Like, dude, it's not my problem. Like, I'm going to show up. I'm like Noah. I'm building the ark, dude. You know, the rain's coming. I'm going to float. It's going to be all right. And even if I do sink, it's okay. I'll see him. I'll be in heaven. You know what I mean? It's like, what's the worst case? So you got to kind of find a mixture of that, too.
Yeah.
My husband has a saying. He says, God will move mountains, but you have to bring your shovel.
That's right.
And I'm like, I'm going to get that tattooed on me one day because it is so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. You can only do so much. And like we talk about a lot on the show, like control the controllables and just let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do.
I want to touch back on the connection piece that you were going to, though, with like setting the tone with clients and everything else, because there's a really powerful piece there that I think that sometimes happens to us as agents. And I know that if you've been in multiple markets, this has happened to you. Because let's just say, for example, if we haven't built that trust with them, that honest, you can call me and I'm going to tell you the truth, or, you know, you can call me on a Sunday, I'm actually going to pick up, or you're just second guessing something and you need that assurance, right? Like, you don't just need a subtle text. Like, let's face it, we're dealing with the general public. Like, people have their anxieties and worries. And sometimes we get into this business and we get whiplashed. Like, we over-communicated, but even what we over-communicated, even though the client heard it, something different took place. Mm-hmm. And so now there's like this re-understanding. And yes, we're the market professionals, but how many times? And I remember this happened in 22. You know, we could list a house pre-rates going up, and it was like, oh, okay, so this is the plan. We're meeting with our sellers. We're going to market your property. We're going to get multiple offers, likely on this day, and then we're going to sit and talk, and this is, okay. And that's what we were selling. And then, like, June of, like, I don't know, like, June 5th, right around my birthday, I just remember it was, like, crickets. Like, houses just sat there, and every seller I had that I sat down and gave that presentation to, I had to bite my tongue. And so what I've now been preaching and teaching and saying, and what you're kind of going on there, is like, not only does communication have to be so key in my relationship with my client, but I have to be so well versed in my training and my ability to understand markets and my ability to understand that things do change on a week-to-week basis given what the feds do, that I have to sell and communicate the whole package of, like, no, it's not just, yes, we could go highest and best, we could also go 90 days. However, I know the markets, and we're going to be able to have these conversations. And hey, you're not just hiring me to list your house and sell it. I tell this to clients all the time. Do you understand that there's markets where I'm at, you actually hire me to protect your value? Like, let's talk about that. How many times have we listed a house where we're at 350, the market's like, it's not taking it. The seller sometimes like, hey, I just need to move this thing. Let's drop it down to 325. Well, that's 25 grand of profit we're taking out.
Right.
What if we just drop it down by 10K? I just saved you 15 grand. Sometimes our job is also to communicate to the client, to have that resistance, to slow the client down.
Yeah.
But then I tell the client, it's my job to slow you down and speed you up based on where I know the market's at, what it can do, and your outcome. Mm-hmm. And really, so, you know, when agents are at the table and someone's like, I don't want to pay your 3% or whatever, it's like, okay, great, I understand that. But I'm actually here to help you. You know, you're not just paying me to sell your house. You're paying me to help protect your investment, to help do all these things. And I think that that communication, when done properly, you know, I think that's the piece of real estate that's the thing that I'd want in real estate to change. Because, you know, how many times do we get the call from somebody? Oh, this realtor told me my house is worth $600,000 and it sat on the market for 100 days or whatever. No. Like, yeah, I know they told you that, but that's just because the communication wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't thoroughly tell you that you were overlisted and they just wanted to take the listing. You know, and I think communication and just honesty and transparency is everything.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
And that education, like, you're touching on education as well. And that's one big thing we do at Elite is, like,
absolutely,
our buyer education sessions. Mm-hmm. And
I call it a strategy session.
Strategy session, education session, buyer consultation. But I think what is always interesting to me is nearly every single client I do that with, we're talking about like hundreds of clients every single year, and they'll go, nobody ever did that with me. This is amazing. Because now they go out in the marketplace and they're armed with knowledge and they're confident and they know what's happening next. You've taken all the, like, well, what if, what could, blah, 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 blah. And you'll still have, like, I have my guy and I'll be like, remember when we said, and we,
but you can point back to that.
And I point back to it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we have our home inspection. Remember when we sat there and we talked about the home inspection? Hey, in Michigan, our roofs are bad all the time. Have you heard the wind out right there?
Yeah. Also, there is moisture in every single attic because no one knows how to hook up in a bathroom fan. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's right.
Literally, every condo.
Yeah.
Every condo I've ever sold.
No roof is vented properly.
No. Right.
Literally.
Not ever.
Literally. That's so powerful, too, on the buying end. And if you're an agent, too, I think, like, the best tool that I use, and I had a really rock star inspector at the time, and he took me by the side and said, come with me on all my inspections just for a week. And I did. Like, I went with him to every inspection. I'd see realtors and they'd be like, what is he doing here? And they're like, is he trying to poach my clients? No, I'm not. I'm trying to learn. Because even in that experience, like, our job is not to try to sell the house. Like, our job is to bring the information to the client, have the house sell this house to them. It fits their needs. And if we're there as, like, I'm not a licensed inspector, but if I'm there as a mini inspector and I'm educating the client, hey, like you said, this should be routed properly. It's going straight into the attic, which is going to cause mold. hey, you know, I noticed that you got, you know, ridge ventilation, but you don't have any other source of ventilation. Hey, we likely have mold up there. Hey, I noticed that the grating's bad, or I noticed that this should be here. There's no GFCI switches, or, you know, all these.
They just painted the basement wall, so they probably knew something was going on.
Correct. Like, being that voice takes the pressure of the client's worries of, like, what if the house is wrong? So I think, yeah, just as much on the sell side of communication, I think on the buying end, we need to be so confident. Like, I joke, like, when my wife and I go to buy houses, I can't be her realtor because I am finding more things wrong with it than right. And sometimes husbands and wives get really upset with me. And I tell them on the beginning, it's okay to get upset with me. I know that you fell in love with this house and I found the foundation issue and that kitchen was perfect and it was the school district you wanted and everything. And now that that foundation's there, you're too scared to take on the issue. But what would you have been more mad about? You moved in and now you got 20 grand of foundational issue, or I broke your heart today. I'd rather break your heart today.
Yeah.
I don't care about the commission check. Like, no, like I need to resell this thing in 5 years. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I have a vested interest.
I think about that all the time. I'm like, this is going to be really hard to resell. Let's go look at something else.
Yes. Yes. Like,
but it's for your best interest, right? Correct. Because if it's hard for you to resell, that means they're not making the profit they could make on a better house.
Yeah. That's right. Or challenging people's budgets. Oh my gosh. Like, I tell people all the time, your entry to exit matters so more than your monthly payment. And they go, what do you mean by that? I'm like, okay, you're arguing with me over $75 a month that we're going up on this house, but you have an AC that's 5 years with the furnace, a 5-year-old roof, and the other one that you want that's $75 cheaper is 15-year-old roof, 10-year-old appliances. And now you're telling me you want to live here for 10 years. Dude, you're going to pay 50 grand on your exit. I'm over here, you're paying 130, you know, extra a month, or $75 extra a month. Which one's harder? Like, having that ability to be honest with somebody too.
And that's so important. I had just over last weekend, we got into a little bit of a bidding war with my buyers. They were referred by a really good friend of mine, and their budget was, they're pre-approved for 300. We got this house, which was on a lark. Like, he saw it and he was like, I want to go see this. And I'm like, you told me Farmington, now we're going to Clinton Township. Love which that. Is fine. Yeah. Because they were first time home buyers. They were like, listen, if the pictures look, because we saw our first couple of houses were those ones where the photographer did a great job. And we walked in and she was like, this is not the house I saw on the internet.
Right.
So we get in and they love it. They vibe with it. Ear to ear smiles. We want this house. We want this house. Kylie, do whatever it takes to get us this house. I'm off, right?
Right.
So I called the listing agent, had an amazing conversation with her, and really built that rapport. We vibed. We had a good chat. Everything was awesome. She was transparent with me, and she was like, I've got an offer for $285. The house is listed at $265.
Wow.
So she's like, I've got this offer. I've got this offer. So I go back to my people, and they were like, well, $285 is our highest, and they needed some concession. So I was like, okay. So I said, let's go up to $290 to build in our concessions. Mm-hmm. And the wife was like, nope, that's over our budget. I said, let me break this down for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. This extra $5,000 that you're willing to go up from $285 to $290 is going to cost you maybe $25 a month. Mm-hmm. I said, and it's a $400 difference in your down payment. Mm-hmm. Do you want to lose this house over $425? Mm-hmm. And when you're able to break it down for the clients like that, they're like, oh, because they don't know what they don't know. They're not in it every day like we are. Yep. And so when you can let them know, like, that $5,000 over the 30 years you're going to get your mortgage for is nothing. It's nothing. Pennies.
Yeah.
You know? So do you want this house or do you not? And they were like, we want the house. So we did.
It's great.
And because I wrote a beautiful buyer letter for them. And because I took the time to talk to the agent, whose name is Micaiah. So I was like, oh, my daughter's name is Kaya. This is going to be great. We're going to have a great time. Blah, blah.
I love that.
She called me back because it was tough because we were up against some really good offers. She's like, listen, she goes, my sellers love what you wrote. Mm-hmm. My sellers love your people. We saw them on the camera. We saw how they love the house. She's like, I love your energy. I love your vibe. We're going to take a chance with your no appraisal gap in your concessions, and we're going to accept your offer.
Come on.
Like, sweet.
That's right.
So it really does matter. Like, we were talking about, like, making that relationship with the listing agent.
Mm-hmm. They're your client.
Collaboration is key.
Yep.
All right, Ross, we're going to give a few more takeaways for our listeners. What CRM do you love to use?
Love that question. So I've tried practically, I don't want to say all of them.
So many.
Literally every single one.
I've built like 10.
Yeah, literally. So where I'm at now, I love Go High Level. I think Go High Level has been what I use everything on now. People are like, well, how is that possible? You know, I think that it's the most underrated CRM out there because you can customize it every way you want.
Don't you get any ideas?
Okay.
Don't you do
so,
it.
So I've had what's Chime? I've had Chime.
Okay.
I've had what's Sync? I've had Sync. Sync was really good. I've done probably several in between, but the number one, what else? KV Core. I've tried KV Core. So I've had that one, but
I've heard mixed reviews about that one.
Not a fan. Go High Level, what I like about it is this, is that it's a white label CRM that I can go in and customize to what I want it. And as a broker, I know what is needed and what's not. As a realtor, I know what's needed and not. And so when I take people down my pipeline, for instance, like I love like, okay, Follow Up Boss. You know Follow Up Boss?
How we have
Follow Up Boss.
Okay. Go High Level has basically a built-in Follow Up Boss, but it's even like better because it's like all in one. I have the
I'm sold. Go get it.
So I have the email campaigns. I have everything's in one, and my opportunity buckets. Man, I could have 15 of them if I wanted. I could have 3. I could have 2. I could have just a buyer's and a seller's. I could have a renter's. I could have agents I'm trying to get to the brokerage. All in these separate buckets on an opportunity thing, and without having a Zapier connection, it does it all in house. So like when I direct, for instance, it's really important to me that when I set a listing appointment, that they get a video of me saying, hey, thank you so much for having me over, that they get an email that outlines our success, the maps, that the houses we've sold, the marketing videos. Like, I need that. I don't have the time that if every time I do that, I do those 10 things. Like, I just don't. And I need to know that the system's going to do that. So like when I drag somebody from, you know, just talk to them to listing appointment, this thing is going to get it all done. And I can sleep at night knowing, okay, I'm good. You know, my negotiation assistant and who does like all of our like really dealing with the clients and trying to, you know, educate them. She handles like all of like our offers, our back end, our TC work. Well, I need to know, she needs to know that like if I just talk to this client and have a listing appointment, that she's getting a notification to help me run the comps. So like this system does all of that. It even has a built-in IDX if you want to upgrade to that too. So you can set your people up on safe search searches within it. So I think it's the most underrated tool.
Nice.
Really. Yeah.
Love it. What kind of communication channels do you use? Do you use Slack or any of that stuff?
So back to Go High Level. You know, I used to use Slack. I used to do this. They have communities within Go High Level, which is just like Slack. So they have like all the different tabs. So it's just an easier thing that I can have it all in one. So we actually communicate all via through the community group, which is just
How do you categorize?
I love that. Just one spot for everything.
Oh, well, trust me, I'm all about it. I can't handle it. Drives me nuts. I'm so OCD. If I have to do more than 5 apps to do what one or two apps can do, those 5 apps are getting eliminated.
Now, do you use that for all your documents too? Like, are your contracts and stuff in there, or do you use something else for your paperless software?
Great question. So we actually had this pain point recently. And so I don't know if you saw though, the RealComp's getting SkySlope integrated, which is huge. This is coming, will be here within the next like 6 days or something, because Remind went out of business. But long story short is that, I do use it to a degree. So for me, whenever an offer is accepted, when they fill out a form, it will allow them to like, because the agents, we fill out like this little quick form that's actually built into Go High Level as well. So we're not using a Google form. And when you attach the doc, it's just going to automatically upload that to the client's portal. So at any time, if a client calls me, it's like, hey, Ross, where's that at? I'm not going like, oh my God, where's everything at? I'm literally going to the contact name, clicking PDF, and I can see everything in front of me.
Lovely.
And so that's a big thing for our checklist. I have to have that. Yeah.
Favorite go-to for inspiration, podcasts or books?
Aside from what do you love? Of course.
Yeah, of course, Elite Life Podcast.
Yeah. Okay, I honestly, recently it's changed. I used to like we're yelling and screaming and jack up David Goggins approach.
Yeah.
And I still think there's a place for that. Lately, though, I like a lot of Tony Robbins. I've been listening to Tony Robbins a lot lately. Who else is it? I'm always Andy Elliott. That's a That's an easy one. But yeah, I think I stay in those ones. I'll say this. I listen to this almost every day, and it's Don't Give Up on Your Dream by T.D. Jakes. If you're ever down for the count, listen to that three-minute video.
Okay.
Don't Give Up on Your Dream by T.D. Jakes. It's 3 minutes. It's on YouTube.
I'll check that one out. It's funny how you mentioned, like, you used to be in this one. Like, when I first started listening to podcasts and personal development, I don't even think they were, like, podcasts, really, but, like, when Andy Frisella came out with the MF CEO.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Andy in my
office. Bringing it back.
Yeah, my managing partner, he'd be listening to that in his office, and he's just screaming, like, everyone cussing.
I love him, though, too, yeah.
And I'm in my office listening to Chalene Johnson. I'm like, why do you listen to that angry guy? Is that, like, bothering you? And then I got so into Andy Frisella and, like, 75 Hard and David Goggins.
I like it, too. I like that song.
Yeah, I think it's seasonality, though. Like, what season of your life do you need to be in, and what do you need in this moment?
That's right.
Like, I'll go hard with, like, Pastor Stephen Furtick and just listen to 100 sermons while I'm running. And then later on.
And then I'll send you an Andy. I'll be like, I saw this. You need to listen to it. And I think you're right. There are definitely – I've come away from his, like, CTI where he talks, like, political stuff. That made me very – I was into that for a while, and it made me very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Q&A, the Q&AF. I love the – he's bringing back the MFCEO. I don't know if he's launched it because I've been listening to the book. But I love that he – he just has, like, a passion, a fire, and, like, he brings his experience to everything that he does. He doesn't half-ass anything, and I love that about him.
Yeah. Joe Rogan's another one.
Oh, yeah.
I love Joe, and I think, like, when we're, like, okay, when we say, like, where do you go for key things for inspiration, I had a guy on my podcast, the Market Podcast, which is funny because I started that in 2020. I had no intentions of building market brokerage out of that. It was not supposed to be called that. But anyways, this guy, he is like a serial entrepreneur, and he says, you know, what I do every day is I spend 15 to 30 minutes listening to things or reading things that I know nothing about, or I just have to, and that's where I gain my inspiration from. And so I kind of use that. Like, I'll listen to a Joe Rogan podcast to hear, even though he's just like, yeah, some of it's BS and some of it's just like playful, but I'll hear a lot of things of like, oh, that was his thought track through that. Like, I could really use that in that situation. Or, oh man, this biologist said this on this. Like, oh, you know what? Gosh, that makes sense. When I say those key words to my sellers, they get so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to pull the layer back. I'm going to use what that, you know, behavioral analyst said to do. So I think it's not just motivation. I think you can also get motivation from just listening to people talk about their profession and keeping an open mind.
Yeah, I love learning. And I did a Facebook Live yesterday because I was like, we just wrote our podcast episodes. Like, what do you guys want to hear about next? And like, one of the things I love about doing a podcast is you learn when you're researching
for it, right?
Like, and I will just go deep on, and we had Taylor Roberts, he's like a rock star. And so now, then I'm like listening to all of his music and I'm like checking all this stuff out. He's like, you really listen to that? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I want to learn. I want to see like what were you thinking when you guys decided to remake this song or what? Yeah. So it doesn't matter what it is. Like, knowledge really is power. Like, I always say that, like, that, what was it? That commercial from the 80s.
It's
G.I.
Like,
Joe. Is power. Yeah. Is it G.I. Joe?
I think so. Well, I've been listening to Bevan's podcast, too, and she did a full episode on, like, historically, like, famous female warriors. And it was so cool because, like, I don't know anything about that. And she's talking about Joan of Arc and, like, I forget all of their names, like this one in the Revolutionary War, and like she dressed up like a man and like took a musket ball out of her leg, and I'm just like, oh my God, like,
right?
But like, it is, it's very cool to like learn about things that we don't know about. Yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
All right, last question. Favorite Bible verse, and then we're gonna wrap.
Is that the last question?
I mean, I'll say Psalm 23, but not probably for what people know it as. I love the part in it where, it talks about, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, he lies me beside, you know, still waters. But then at the very end of that, it says, for his name's sake.
Mm.
And I love that because there are days where we take so much of the responsibility to think that like, oh, I need to have it all. I need to be here. I need to be this. I need to be that. But like, no. At the end of the day, it's for God's sake. Like, I don't have to feel the pressure of like, doing it all right. Like, I'm doing this for him. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I can take assurance that I'm just going to be the best son possible to Jesus, and that he's going to be the awesome dad, and that, you know, he's going to calm my spirit. He's going to get me the peace. But at the end of the day, it's for his name's sake. And the reason why I say that is because it realigns me to understand, like, he gave his life for me. So like, when I'm having these adversities and I'm maybe not feeling peace, like, it's okay because I'm doing this for his name's sake. I can take on this little bit of suffering, which is like a 10%, 100th less of whatever he had to do for my, you know, salvation. Mm-hmm. So I try to put things in perspective like that. Yeah.
I love that perspective. Thank you so much. Yeah. This has been amazing. We could talk to you for like 7 more hours.
Hey, all day. You're right going to have to come back. Come back.
I would love to. And I have to have you guys on the Market podcast, which is separate from Market. Okay. It's to interview all markets. And you guys are a market. So
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, good group. And it's a blast to get to know you even more. You have...
Ditto.
Genuine. You can feel, like you said, authenticity.
Yeah.
Like integrity, authenticity is here. So thank you.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks you guys for listening to the Elite Life podcast. Before you go, sub the show, share with a friend. This was a killer episode. I'm going to go back and re-listen and pull all the nuggets. Yes. And make sure you come back next week because we drop fresh content every Thursday here on the Elite Life.
Let's go.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.